بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Today we'll discuss our beliefs in regards to the barzakh. The word is barzakh, comes in the 18 juz of Quran. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. This word barzakh refers to the life after death in the qabr. As we term this worldly life, this is the dunya we're living in. From dunya we'll be transferred to the barzakh. Belief number one, the literal meaning of barzakh is veil. The meaning of barzakh is a realm, that world, where man will be from death until the day of qiyamah, where the marhumin are buried in a qabristan, so that entire life that is right now prevalent, existent under the ground, that's called barzakh. Till qiyamah, that will continue. Due to the fact that it is hidden from our present realm, it is called barzakh, because we are veiled from it. Therefore, we cannot see what is happening there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has veiled it from our eyes. Barzakh is not the name of a particular place. After death, wherever the human body is, whether it be scattered or in one place, that is barzakh for that person. At the time of death, the soul is taken out from the body. Malakul maut is sent, and the ruh is removed from the body of insan, depending pious person, impious. With a pious person, then the Hadith Sharif says, like how you have a strand of hair that is stuck in dough, and how easy it is to take it out. So the believer, his ruh will be taken out like that also, very quickly. And he won't feel much pain. Disbeliever or impious person, it's like how you take a cotton cloth, piece of cloth, and you throw it over a thorny garden, and how you pull it, how we get stuck to the thorns. In the same way, this believer, impious person, his ruh is taken out from there. And the markaz and the headquarters of pain is the heart. Person has the pain on his toe, he presses it a bit, the pain penetrates right to the heart. The heart feels the pain. Then the entire body is restless. So in this way, Allah Ta'ala save us, impious person, malakul maut, slowly will remove the ruh. The ruh penetrates in every corner and every part of the body. So due to the ruh has life, Allah has given it life. So this now is spread throughout the body. So malakul maut slowly pulls it out from corner, slowly, and the person feels the pain in every part of his body, and it hits the heart. It hits the heart. Allah Ta'ala save us and make our sakarat easy for us. So at the time of death, the soul is taken out from the body. The soul is never destroyed. It needs a special place and abode. When the deceased is placed in the qabr, in the grave, and the soul is returned to the body for questioning. So when a pious person passes away, as the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahimullah in his kitab, Maut Ki Yaad, Remembrance of Death, he mentions there, many a times we've discussed it also, when a pious person passes away, then it happens very, very quickly, split seconds. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu sends 500 malaika to welcome that person to the life of the hereafter. So they come, they make two rows, and they call out his name. Malakul Maut comes with a silken handkerchief, piece of cloth from Jannah that's scented with the oud and fragrance of Jannah. It's put under his chin. Once he inhales this, it's like anesthetic. He doesn't feel anything. The eyeballs turn over, now he sees the realm of the hereafter. It's real, it's happening right now. Sometimes he's sitting next to the person, and he goes into sakarat. It happens very quickly. So he inhales it. Then he goes into a trance, so to say. Like how we take a little child to the doctor. Doctor wants to give the injection, so doctor will give the child a sweet in his hand to distract him. And before the child knows it, it's already over. He's given the injection already, doesn't feel it. The same for a believer also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very quickly inhales the fragrance of Jannah, the eyeballs turn over and he sees his malaika calling out his name, and in their hands they have bouquets of flowers and roses. And they're calling out his name, calling out his name. That excitement, the ruh leaves the body. The heart is aware of it. Malaika, because the ruh was a pious ruh, and every time a person does good a'mal in this worldly life, then every ruh and a'mal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the a'mal a shape and a scent to it, a fragrance to it. So as the a'mal of a good person penetrate the skies and it goes through every heaven, the malaika know the fragrance of that a'mal of the soul of the ruh and they welcome it. So when this person passes away, then the ruh now goes through the skies, malaika, they recognize the scent of this ruh and they say, welcome, welcome to you, welcome to you, welcome to you, till the malaika take a right to illiyin. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي سِجِّينَ عِلِّيِّين is a special place by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala where the ruh of the pious are kept over there. Sijjin is below the earth where the impious souls are kept over there like a jail it is. Then when the ghusl is given, there's much detail thereafter. The person is placed into the qabr, the last people leave the qabrastan. Then the soul is returned to the body for questioning. Now they are linked up once again. A relationship between the body and soul is established. Such a relationship that will allow it to feel reward and punishment. So, the nerves are all restored, everything is back. When a person passes away, two angels appear before him. That is in the qabr. This is irrespective of whether he had been buried or not. They might cremate the body sometime. Or at sea the person passed away, then they lower it into the ocean, and he'll be buried at the bottom of the ocean. If it'll be too many days to come to land. So one is called, one of those angels are called Munkar, and the other one is called Nakir. The Munkar and Nakir, the two angels. These angels question the deceased as follows. Who is your Rabb? Mar Rabbuk. Who is your creator and sustainer? Mar Rabbuk. This, to answer this question in the qabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us our salah. In salah, we realize that a person in salah, when he begins his salah, Subhanaka Allahumma wa tabarak asmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk, then he starts Surah Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rabb comes over there. He goes into ruku, Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, Rabb again. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana, Rabb comes again. He goes into sajda, there again, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. So throughout salah is Rabb, 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 Rabb. This is practiced now for the qabr. So when he asked now, Mar Rabbuk, he said, Rabbi Allah. Because he was accustomed to saying, My Rabb, My Rabb, My Rabb in Salah, five times a day. And how many rakats in a day? He's saying this over and over again. Allah Ta'ala give us the consciousness that every time we are saying this now, that we are preparing for the qabr. So when the question will be put, who is your Rabb? Then he can answer, Rabbi Allah. Ma deenuk, what is your deen? If his life was according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had deen in his life, then he'll see, he will reply and he will say, Deeni Allah, that my deen al-Islam, that my deen is Islam. Who is this person? He'll see the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he will reply also that this is my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If the deceased was an upright person, he will answer correctly. Thereafter, he will enjoy all forms of comfort and ease. If he was not upright, not pious, then he will answer, he will say, ha ha la adri. That, oh, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. There's no coming back. He said, I do not know the answer. He will then undergo great difficulty and punishment. There are some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exempts and excludes from this trial and this questioning. Example, the Anbiya alayhim salat wa salam, the messengers, the martyrs, they are alive by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and the Muslim children. So they don't go through this interrogation. Only the deceased are aware of these occurrences. They know what is happening in there. We are above the surface of the earth. We cannot perceive this. This is just like a person who is sleeping. And he sees many things in his dream. Whilst a person next to him in a state of wakefulness is totally oblivious of his condition. He doesn't know what the person is seeing. So too in the same way what is happening in the qabr, we are oblivious. We don't know what is happening over there. But we believe in it. Belief number two in regards to barzakh, all the non-believers and some sinful Muslims are punished in the qabr, in the grave. Allah Ta'ala save us. The punishments and rewards in the life of barzakh are meted out to the soul and the body. They both feel the pain. Belief number three, when one makes dua for the deceased or spends charity on his behalf, he makes dua for the deceased or he spends charity on his behalf, he makes intention that the reward for this charity of these a'mal must go to the marhumin, to the deceased. The rewards of such actions reach the deceased and they attain great benefit by means of it. As our Hazrat Wala, Abdul Hamid Sahib explains also Dhamma Barakatuhu, that in our worldly life, it's possible our parents are dependent upon us to a certain extent. They need our help financially, maybe sometime, mashwara, consultation, etc. So we do assist them. But once they reach the qabr, then they are completely, totally muhtaj upon us. They are in need of us completely. They cannot do anything whatsoever. So whatever we need for them, that is sent to them, is gift wrapped by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, served to them on a golden platter of nur, from so and so to so and so. They receive the reward and they rejoice. We know how we like to receive gifts, even though you got it. When somebody gives you, how you enjoy to unpack it. In the same way, all these a'mal that we do, and we make the niyat, the reward must go to the marhumin. Then in the same way, with excitement, they receive it and they open it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakat of this is mentioned, whatever we send for them, then their stages are raised in Jannah. All their sins are forgiven. All the azab is removed. Because of these a'mal, or the reward of the a'mal that we send to them. To the extent, our Shaykh also teaches us, even the so to say now, the little a'mal that we do, to the extent the dua he says before entering the toilet, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-qubuthi wal-khaba'ith, is a reward for that. He said, make the intention, Ya Allah, the reward of this dua also send to all the marhumin. Little things we can send to them. By doing this, inshallah, Allah will inspire those after us to send for us also. But how much we can invest now? That is why they say, if you remove the overpowering love of dunya from the heart, they send your wealth ahead to the akhirat. Send more over there, then the heart is where the wealth is. So my wealth is there. So a person now will want to go to where the wealth is. So the heart will be there. And whenever the chance and opportunity presented itself to me, I spend in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, whether some madrasa came, darulum, masjid. In the joy of reading salah in that masjid, alhamdulillah, we contributed to the carpet. Or we contributed now to whatever it may be. The person feels the joy over there that I send these forward to akhirat, the reward is there waiting for me. So whoever his wealth is sent, that is where the heart is. So the more we send to the akhirat of our wealth, our health, our time, then we will desire to be there. That is why one king, one khalifa asked a pious person, that how come we know that things are better in Jannat? As we say, things are better on the other side. Pastures are greener. We know things are better there. But we are afraid to go there. The heart doesn't yearn to go there, you know. As we want to park here, we want to stay here. We don't want to move from here. My family, my this, my that. So how come? But we know things are better there. There's more enjoyment, there's more fun, there's more security. There's no fear whatsoever. The food is laid out, and there you eat for taste only, not to get full. You're eating for pure tasting only. Not to go to the toilet, there's no sweating, nothing whatsoever. We know all the pleasures are there. All the pleasures are there. But how come we are afraid to be transferred? So he gave the reply, and he says, عَمَّرْتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ وَخَرَبْتُمْ آخِرَتَكُمْ. The reason being is because you built up your dunya and you destroyed your akhirat. You invested everything over here. Oh, your faculties, your talent, your wealth, so much in the children that we put in them, that we should be investing in them. And the reality is, ulama explained, that invest our children for our akhirat. Invest in our children for our akhirat. But I'm using my kids and my children as a tool to make my akhirat. Today the entire Western secular culture is that invest in your children for their dunya. Invest in them to make their dunya. Whereas the reality is, Sahaba radiallahu anhum invested in their children to make their akhirat. Allah has given me an amanat. Give them so much of deen that once I'm transferred into the qabr, my little son now is going coaching. Then we'll cry over there. Oh, better you go sit in the talim. Where are you going coaching now? I'm sitting in the qabr, I'm waiting for you to send to me some a'mal. At least go for salah, go in the path of Allah, sit in the majalis. Then it's too late. I signed him up now. I signed him up for coaching. And as we hear some people, I signed up my daughter for ballet or whatever it may be, and all these other pastimes and entertainments. We're going to the qabr and we're waiting. He's too busy now. He's too busy now training. My father put me in a certain line. My mother put me in a certain line. Parents have gone into the qabr. and they're not receiving anything. Their father wanted to be maybe a professional footballer or cricketer, had a certain icon I had to follow. Father inspired me, I must go that direction. Then the father will cry in the qabr, that which way are you going? It's too late to come back now. Therefore they say, Allah Ta'ala bless us with children, invest in them for your akhirat, for your qabr. That I put them on the right track, once I go into the qabr, every step he's taking, subhanallah, I'm getting the reward, I'm getting the reward, I'm getting the reward. Whatever he's spending in the path of Allah, jamaats are coming, friends of Allah are coming to the local masjid, he's taking them home, he's feeding them, he's taking some food for them, the wife is cooking for them, oh, the reward is going to the father. They're receiving it. Just because he put the family on the right track. Today the fear is now, what will happen to them? What will happen to them? So much of fear we have. What will happen to them? Today, subhanallah, we can see, my dear brothers, it's a reality. It's a reality. Allah Ta'ala opened our eyes. Those of us sitting in i'tikaf over here for 10 days when we came and took admission, so to say, we never asked from the beginning, by what's the menu? Allah is just sending it every day. Dukan is closed. Shop is closed. Allah is giving us the best of food like kings, subhanallah. Iftari is hairy. He hardly digested the first meal and the second one is already laid out. People are willing to serve you hot, cold, brews, cold drink, coffee. What do you want? Dukan is closed. Allah says, I'll feed you like this. Because you're in the path of Allah. In the path of Allah, you are my guest. I am the host. If we make our entire life now in the path of Allah, Allah will host us like that. But I want to do Allah's job. I want to sort my life out. How we say, I need to sort my life out. I need to make quick, I need to sort my life out and arrange things in my life. So Allah says, he hands it over to you, no problem. But if we now make ourselves khadims of deen and our children also, Allah will never waste them. Allah will take care of them. There's no doubt in it. As I said now, the whole thing is for my akhirat. The whole thing is for my akhirat. When I go into the qabr, I'm still getting revenue. The bank account is still open. Not that it's closed. I'm going there, the bank account is closed. Nothing is coming through. Everything is just dead all of a sudden. I didn't leave behind any offshore investments via my children. Hadith Sharif says, leave behind pious children, they'll make dua for you. If you don't have children, then leave behind some literature, some CDs, something which the people will take benefit from. Some ilmi things that they'll take benefit from. Oh, some water wells, some boreholes, etc. Invest now before we leave. As I give the example also, the father, Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with wealth. So with his wealth now, if he has to sit down and do some calculation, there's some boreholes needed here, Malawi needs some money right now, let's do something there. With his own wealth now, he'll work it out, I can build for myself 5 boreholes, 5 wells. And I'll get the reward as long as people are using it. He'll do for himself 5 or 10. But his 5 sons he leaves behind now, with all that miras inheritance, they'll get together. Papa left for us money. Shall we just pool our money together and make one borehole for him? 5 sons will make 1 borehole for their father. So Hazrat says, don't wait for them to make for you anything. Make your own now. But you're saving all that money, that they'll do something for me. No, something happened. They got their own families, their own taqazas. How much you can do for yourself, you do. Allah will take care of them. Put them onto the deeni line. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them without any doubt. So when one makes dua for the deceased or spends charity on his behalf, the rewards of such actions reach the deceased and they attain great benefit by means of it. If the deceased was being punished, then these good deeds lighten. If the deceased was being punished, and these good deeds that we send over to them lighten or terminate his punishment. They lighten his punishment or they remove it. If he is not being punished, then these actions which a person sends over, the reward, cause his status to be elevated. Only the Muslim deceased benefit from this. Dead non-Muslims no benefit in any way whatsoever from the actions of the Muslim relatives. But this is something we're going to take to heart, my dear brothers. Then when it comes to our children, explain to our wives at home, they all got this fikr. It's more than a fikr right now. The environment has become such that the housewives can't even live their own lives anymore. They're living the children's lives. They got no peace, no sukkah, their homework, their this. They got no peace of mind. The way this dunya has gripped their hearts. You know, put them in high-tech schools, what fees they are paying now. This child must make his life. He must make it. He must make it at all costs. And the mother is getting finished. We have to explain to her that, oh mother, oh my wife, tomorrow you go into the qabr, you're not going to get anything from here. Nothing is going to come your way. Nothing is going to come your way. Put them in the white schools, or put them in certain private schools, etc. If tomorrow you're going to go, you're not going to get anything from this child. You won't get one bismillah. That father that passed away wasn't very pious, but he left behind a pious wife, and he left behind a baby. And the wife sees him in the qabr, and he's burning in the fire of Jahannam, and he's getting azab al-qabr. For years it continued, because he didn't leave behind any good amal for himself. But his wife had some taqwa, some piety in her. His little son became of age, so the wife said that he's of age now, he has to go to madrasa. So she sent him to madrasa. And the boy sat with the ustaz. And the ustaz told the young boy, Ya ghulam, ya buniya, ya waladi, iqra, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. That, oh young boy, read, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Soon as he read, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, the wife sees in a dream that the husband now is in Jannat. What happened? Allah Ta'ala revealed that when a little child of this man said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that how is it possible that I punish my slave in the belly of the earth with the fire, whereas his son is taking my name above the ground. Remove the azab al-qabr, because the young boy reading Bismillah only. These are realities. These are realities. We have these children, they are great amanats. And we can do great things with them also. Put them on the right line. In our situation now, South Africa, there's enough places we can send them for homeschooling. For homeschooling, and the schooling system, you know, how much they are doing. As I mentioned now, the amount of books they are carrying, like containers on their back. They hardly can walk with those books, and how much really they are learning from there. Half the homework, we are doing it. They don't even understand it. Whether the teachers understand also is another question altogether. But they're just going through the motions, and because, and the mothers have this anxiety they have day after day. The child hardly sleeps at night. We know what time they're leaving in the morning, what time they're coming in the evening. We feel sorry for these children. Is that a child's life? Is that his life? Because Ali used to say, radiallahu anhu, let the child play till he's 7 years old. He's already going to the crash at 3 years old. By 13, he's crashed already, he's tired. The father is doing school rounds for almost 30 years. Up and down is his school rounds. His whole life has been doing school rounds only. Not him, then his mother. What the chakra they got us living in right now. Almost 20, 30 years, the children are coming one after the other, just finished with one, the next one started. And it's, if they can't do it, then bichara, nana and dada, they're doing it. Oh, school rounds, up and down the entire day. You should think, stop, ya Allah, is this life? Did you send us to live like this? And before we know it, we're gone. Gone to the Qabristan, we hardly did any fikr of deen, nothing happened. We thought we'll give the 3 days, we'll go sit in the majlis. Tomorrow he got Thursday night program, couldn't make it now. Tomorrow he's got assignment, he's got project, he's got this, he's got that. The wife is busy with him, she can't listen on the receiver. Ya Allah, the life is just coming out like that. Life is coming out like that. Allah Ta'ala, give us understanding, but we've got to break the circle right now. This is the life of the barzakh, which is a reality, is the haqq. We all have to go to the barzakh, and these questions will be put to us, whether we are ready for it. We have to train our children also, the becoming of age. Murahiq, qareebul bulugh, almost the age of puberty. They have to know these things. In the life of a child, of a Muslim, is only two stages. Is na baligh or is baligh? This we have to understand very clearly. Once the child is near the age of puberty, soon he'll be a baligh male, he's an adult. All the ahkam and the laws of sharia are binding on him. Secular education will keep him like a child. You're still small, wet behind the ears. You can't get smart card also when you're 16 only. License when you're 18 only. Go to the countries now, North Africa. Go to Afghanistan. Go to Pakistan. You see young boys, 11, 12, is running the business. Or he's doing his own business at that age. Tough. They're strong. They're mature enough to understand. Yeah, they've given us the education system to keep us behind. The child now, we call him a child. The child now is 25 years old and he's still playing Xbox and PlayStation. He's a professional gamer. still playing games. So by the time he's becoming of age now, he's already an adult. Salah is farz upon him. If he has the means, zakat is farz upon him. If he has the means, then hajj is farz upon him. Tell the 15-year-old boy that you have the means, that all these years you save money for, you have to go for hajj. He says, I want to go. Little boy, he still can't understand the concepts. Whereas by then he's already an adult. He should know all the concepts of sharia and deen. But he doesn't know these things. He doesn't know these things because the entire education system has kept them behind from maturing mentally. That's all they've done. He hasn't matured mentally. He's still thinking like a child. And if you look really in the world, the young billionaires, at what age they left school? What age they started working? 14, 15, by 17 he's a billionaire. How he made it? It shows that Allah Ta'ala has put in insan. By the time you become of age, you can think like an adult. But the entire education system is keeping them behind, and we are falling for it, that you only really can stand on your feet after 20 plus. By then already your youth is gone. What are you supposed to do? Grow up in the ibadat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. You lost the plot. You lost it now. So 12 years they took away. Another 4 or 5 years, that, and all this now petka masla, just for your belly and your stomach only. You're going to retain, we need so much of your time. The question is, Ya Allah, is this the system? Is this your system? There were 12 years, another 4 or 5 years of varsity or college, just to earn the stipend of the month. Ya Allah, is this really the system? We haven't asked it, we haven't questioned it, we've accepted it. We've accepted it, and we took it, yes, this is the, what they say, gospel truth. That's it. We didn't ask Sahaba Ikram how they did it. Quran Sharif, what it says. The mothers just accepted it. He has to do it like this. There's no other way. Otherwise my son will be left behind. He'll be left behind. He won't make it in life. He'll be backwards. What will happen to him? All these questions. We're playing with the emotions of the mothers. And we fell into the system. We fell into the trap. And now we see we have no lives now. We're just running the circle every day. Round and round. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, my dear brothers. As we can see in the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has made life, this is how life should be every day. Madina Munawwara, this was the normal life every day. After Isha Salah, after Fajr Salah, Nabi Ali Salah would sit with Sahaba Ikram and take kar guzaris. Like how we have morning fikr in the masjids. Then Ishraq Salah. Then they will start the day. They will start the day, then back into the masjid again. There's another program taking place. Shall we close dukan, let's go back. There's some discussion taking place. So 1/8 of the day, 1/8, 8 hours in the day. 8 hours is to give to the masjid, 8 hours to their businesses, and 8 hours to their families. That is the tartib of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. 8 hours was given to the fikr of deen. They learned the deen as adults also. They went to the masjid, they learned the deen. The demand was there. So Nabi Ali salatu salam was there. He had the qurra, had ulama ikram. So muzakara was taking place. 8 hours was given to all his activities every day. Then 8 hours was given to the business, 8 hours to the house. That's how they balanced their lives. And the children were on the same tartib also. They were learning. And ta'lim was taking place in the home. This was the environment in Madinatul Munawwara. Allah Ta'ala revive the system once again, inshallah. Brothers, we can read our Yasin Sharif. Our morning, evening duas, we make zikr and dua after that, inshallah.